Anita Heiss is unstoppable, whether it's her prolific writing that covers non-fiction, historical fiction, commercial women's fiction, social commentary and travel, or her work as a lifetime ambassador for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, the ILF. And just recently, she's been longlisted for an International Literary Award for her novel Barbed Wire and Cherry Blossom, set on the Arambi Mission near Cowra during the mass breakout of Japanese prisoners of war in 1944. If you follow her on social media, as I do, you'll know that she runs for fitness, and now she's doing it to raise money for the ILF. She took that to the next level recently when she impulsively decided to run the New York City Marathon, her second ever marathon, only a handful of months after completing her first, and that was the Australian Outback Marathon at Uluru in July. Anita Heiss is speaking with Rudy Bremer, and she begins by describing how it felt to have completed the world-renowned marathon under grey skies in New York.
It's interesting because what you feel, I think, after the race is much greater than what you feel while you're running it. I'm very proud of the achievement. It's a massive challenge mentally and physically to run 42.2 kilometres. I like to think, particularly at my age, and I'm not as sore today as I have been. I was quite sore running the race. Everything was aching. I had backache and legs and so forth and very sore coming home. But I feel pretty good today. I feel all right.
And it was a very quick trip as well as you being there for running, because you kind of were there at the start of the week. You're back in Brisbane at the moment. How's the jet lag sort of situation?
Well, I think I'm okay today. But the interesting, that quick turnaround was purely because I hadn't planned on doing the New York Marathon at all this year. I had dreams years ago that I might do it, and then just sort of took it off the radar because it's such a difficult thing to do, and obviously getting to New York and so forth. But I did the Uluru Marathon at the end of July, the Outback Marathon, with the Epic Good Foundation and a team of people we took there. And I had swore while I was running and that night afterwards I would never run another marathon. And then the following morning I thought, you know, I'm not really happy with my time. So the founders of the Epic Good Foundation, Kathy Reed and Stuart Giles, said to me, if you want to go, we will send you. And Stuart, who is a marathon runner, said, I will run with you. And in all honesty, if he wasn't running by my side every kilometre of the way, I'm not sure that I would have got in the time that I did. I know I wouldn't have. So really, I already had my life mapped out for the year. I have to fly to Sydney this afternoon and I got into Brisbane last night. So I really only had the time, the 5 days, get over the jet lag, spend some time with the Indigenous Marathon Project team, do some work at the consulate, and then do the race and literally flew out the next day.
I mean, I've heard you talk about Stuart as being a bit of a mentor for you in this process of long distance running and marathon running. And he gave you a bit of a task at the airport in New York. What did he tell you to do?
Well, I think it's really interesting the way America celebrates marathon runners to how we do back home. And it would not be normal for us back here to walk around the streets the day of the marathon or the day after the marathon wearing our medal. But it's completely normal in New York. And it's actually a major celebration for the city, and millions of people line the streets and it's like a party for 26 miles. And so he said to me, we went out for lunch, a celebratory lunch the following day, because basically everybody's exhausted that night. And I was like, everyone's wearing their medal. And I had worn mine in the street, and strangers were congratulating me, and even at the airport. So he said to me, oh, yes, you have to wear your medal to the airport until you get on the flight. So I did. And as I said, I was going through security, and even at check-in, the staff said, oh, you ran the marathon, that's great. And then when I got on the plane, the staff were all talking about it, and I'm in the lounge and people were toasting me. And it's a really interesting experiment. So I call him my ex-centaur, because he's an eccentric mentor. And, you know, I was quite happy to do as he suggested, given that he got me through the race and actually got me to New York.
He certainly sounds like a bit of an eccentric mentor as well.
Oh, he's loads of fun. Very focused, though, can I tell you, Rudy? When I was running, everything was hurting. And I would say, I feel sick, my back's aching, and every response he gave me was a positive affirmation. You're doing great, you're smashing it, you're this pace, you're that pace. I'm going, oh my goodness, he's not listening to me, but running that distance is as much mental as it is physical. It is about telling yourself that you can get over the line, and it's one foot in front of the other. So Stuart himself is going for the 6 world majors, which is Tokyo, Boston, Chicago, London, New York, and what's the other one? Berlin. So that was the second time that he'd done New York. So he knew the route, and I would say, like, what's the next bridge? Where are we going? And his wife, Kathy Reed, my friend, she had the Aboriginal flag at 2 spots for me. So I could see along First Avenue, I could see the flag up ahead, and that gave me a burst of energy. I think I had a bit of a weep when I got there and said to her, why am I doing this? And then as I got into Central Park, she handed us the flag, and I carried that over the line, which I don't know whether that's been done before. But that was, for me, an extraordinary moment in time.
And you did mention the Indigenous Marathon Project has also been bringing people to the New York Marathon as well. How much time do you get to spend with them?
Well, I was fortunate in that I was staying in the same hotel, so quite often I'd bump into them in the lobby and so forth. And I had run with one of the participants, Cara, as a deadly runner for Queanbeyan Deadly Runners. I'd run with her previously out in Queanbeyan earlier this year. And they hosted a fantastic lunch at the embassy on the Friday prior to the run, and each one of those participants talked about their own journey, what inspired them, what their purpose was. Each and every one of them had an individual purpose that kept them focused, but also most of their purpose was something that benefited our entire community, their local communities, but also the national community. And I wanted them to know, and I hope they understood when I said to them that they need to know the leadership that they show impacts people nationally, not just their own family and friends and local community, because they are absolute role models, each and every one of them. There were 10 in the team, finished the marathon. They held a training run on the Friday morning. We all went into Central Park. Well, those people who wanted to come from the Australian contingent of Travelling Fit, we went to Central Park. They spoke briefly. Each of them spoke briefly and introduced themselves. And Robert DiCostello, who's the founder of the Indigenous Marathon Project, he gave a very motivational speech for all of us as runners, but also to look to the young people, because they're all under 30, to look to them for inspiration. And I can't tell you how inspired I felt by hearing their stories. And I thought, you know, I hope that people, you know, check out the website, check out their stories. I know various media outlets have been following them, and they're all extraordinary. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do from here on in.
Now, the other thing that we should also have a bit of a chat about, I wanted to congratulate you very quickly on your book, Barbed Wire and Cherry Blossoms, has been long listed for the 2018 International Dublin Literary Award. That's a fantastic achievement.
Thank you very much, first of all. And I think that this award, or they're not long list, I should say, is probably one of the most important things for me as a writer over my entire career, because for the first time with this book, I feel like, you know, the literary hierarchy or the academy see the story of the Cowra breakout and war in Australia, and indeed an Aboriginal involvement in war, as something that is actually an international story, but also a story that all Australians should engage in. And quite often our work is ghettoised into a space where, you know, if it's got anything to do with Aboriginal Australia, it's only for an Aboriginal audience. And that's simply not true. We have a shared history. And in terms of Barbed Wire and Cherry Blossoms, our people went to war. Wiradjuri men were in World War II. The Cowra breakout is a significant moment in Australian general history. Cowra is the home of the World Peace Bell, the UN World Peace Bell, and so forth. And I'm really thrilled that, you know, to make that kind of list at an international level tells me that that moment in time puts Cowra on an international literary map.
I think one of the things that I started thinking about when I saw that you've been long listed for this award, merely hours after finishing the New York Marathon, is that both of these are endurance kind of pursuits that you've taken on, training for running a marathon and actually sitting down and doing the writing. Both are very difficult and sort of challenging work in their own ways.
Oh, gee, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about it like that, but you're absolutely right. In terms of the writing, like people often say to me they want to write a book or they're going to write a book and so forth, but they don't understand that it takes time. Like I spend Saturdays in libraries, I travel and do research, and that it's not as simple as sitting down and putting pen to paper. The putting pen to paper for me is the easy part. It's the backstory and the research and the working with people on the ground to make sure you get the story right. That is the longevity of the, I guess, the training for the outcome. And the same with running. I literally trained from January 1 this year to do the Outback Marathon, had a month off, and then finished training for New York. And you can't just get up one day and run 42 kilometres. So I guess the parallels that you've drawn there are exactly the same, that to have an end product takes time and motivation and focus and sacrifice. So, you know, I sacrificed a lot of my weekends and, you know, couldn't go out and party and so forth because I had to get up at 4:30 on a Sunday morning or 5 o'clock to run, just as I sacrificed my weekends, you know, to having fun and going to the beach or lying down and reading a book by having to research and write. So it's very, very similar in terms of, you know, what do you want and what are you willing to do to reach that end point?
That was Anita Heiss, writer, raconteur and manager of the Epic Good Foundation. She was speaking with Away's Rudy Bremer just days after completing the New York Marathon. She's also been listed for the Dublin Literary Award. Anita's a lifetime ambassador for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and this year she helped raise over $11,000 in donations through her marathon running. Under grey skies in New York, Anita finished in a time of 5 hours, 18 minutes, 57 seconds, and that's her personal best. There were 10 competitors from the Indigenous Marathon Project, and Luke Reedy from Perth crossed first among them in a time of 3 hours, 43 minutes and 9 seconds. Alira Winmar, also from Perth, finished in 4 hours, 22 minutes and 27 seconds to be best of the women.